Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the story of Jagadananda Pandit's Braj Yatra. This is from Antilila, chapter 13, verse 27 through 42. Swarup Gosanire Pandit Kahila Nivedan Purva Haite Vrindavano Haite Moraman. Jagadananda then submitted a plea to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Jagadananda said, For a long time I wanted to go to Vrindavan. Prabhu Agya Vinatahan Yahite na pari, ebe agya na dena, more krode yahabali. I cannot go there, however, without the Lord's permission, which at present he denies me. He says, You are going because you are angry with me. Sahajaya moratahan, yahite manam hai. Prabhu agyalana deha kariya vinay. Naturally, I have a desire to go to Vrindavan. Therefore, please humbly request him to grant his permission. Tabe swarup gosai kahe prabhu racharane jagat anandera icha bada yaite Vrindavan. Thereafter, Swarup Damodar Goswami submitted this appeal at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Jagat Ananda Pandit intensely desires to go to Vrindavan. Tomaratani agyateno magge bharabhara agyadeha maturadeki aise ekavara. He begs your permission again and again. Therefore, please permit him to go to Mathura and then return. Harire dekite yaiche gora deshe jai taiche ekabara brinda vana dekiai. You permitted him to go see Mother Shachi in Bengal, and you may similarly permit him to go to see Vrindavan and then return here. Sarup Gosani Rabole Prabhu Agyadila Jagadanande Bolana Tanre Shikaila. At the request of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted Jagadananda Pandit permission to go. The Lord sent for him and instructed him as follows. So here we have in this story Jagadananda Pandit. Jagadananda Pandit goes to Vrindavan. He didn't whimsically just run away from Jagannath Puri and go to Vrindavan. First he sought the permission of his guardian. And Jagannanda Pandit, he's a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, so he's serving Lord Chaitanya, sometimes cooking for him or offering him fragrant oil, which Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate very much. Jagannanda broke the pot when Lord Chaitanya didn't accept it. So they had a very loving relationship. Sometimes it's compared to Satyabhama. Jagadananda Pandit is like Satyabhama, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was acting like Krishna. Something like Satyabhama and Krishna in Dwarka. Spicy relationship. Sugar and spice and everything nice. So when Jagadananda Pandit, he didn't ask directly. It's interesting how he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to go for a long time. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. But he didn't ask Lord Chaitanya directly. He could have, but he didn't. Because he was thinking that the Lord will think I'm going there because I'm angry with him. That I'm in lover's quarrel. I'm running away from my lover. Sometimes lovers quarrel and one runs away to their mother-in-law or somewhere to run to Manhattan from Long Island or something. So he sought the help of Swarup Damodar. He said, listen, because you're so intimate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Radha-bhav, Krishna tasting Radha-bhav, so in the mood of Radharani, and Swarup Damodar, of course, is Lalita. So on behalf of Jagannanda, Swarup Damodar asked Lord Chaitanya, may your Jagannanda, he go to Vrindavan. Because once before you sent him to Bengal to give news to Mother Sachi. So then Lord Chaitanya, he conceded. He said, yes, I will allow him to go, but first call him. So then Mahaprabhu met Jagannanda and he said, Varanasi paryanta swachande hayave pate age savadane yaya kshatriyari shate. You may go as far as Varanasi without encountering disturbances, but beyond Varanasi you should be very careful to travel on the path in the company of kshatriyas. So what Lord Chaitanya is saying there is that it's relatively civilized from Puri to Varanasi. But once you leave Varanasi, then forget it. You're in Gunda land. So Varanasi is also in Uttar Pradesh, which is sometimes called Alta Pradesh. Alta means upside down, because everybody acts an upside down way. You think they should act like this, and they act the opposite way. Whatever you think, they'll do the opposite. So it's called Alta. People in India call this Alta Pradesh, actually. Upside down place. Everywhere else people speak and act and behave in a rather predictable way. But here, especially the epitome of this Uttar Pradesh is in the holy Dham of Vrindavan. The behavior and speech and activities is the most uttam alta, the topmost upside down behavior. So he's even that was the same way 500 years ago, because as you know, Varanasi is the head of the Advaitin Sampradaya. There's so many Mayavadis there. And it's relatively, there's some education there, some knowledge there, some culture to some extent. But after that, it's all jungle. He told him, he said, if you're going on, because he said, I want to go to Vrindavan. So from Varanasi to Vrindavan, how many kilometers is that? Varanasi to Mathura. It's an overnight train ride. So it's quite a ways. So he's saying, if you're going beyond Varanasi, you better go with Kshatriyas. So if you're going to Vrindavan from Long Island, you better bring a band of Kshatriyas with you. He says, in those days, Prabhupada says, the path from Varanasi to Vrindavan was infested with robbers. And therefore there were Kshatriyas to protect travelers. Kevala, this interesting historical note here that we're getting from the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, aside from the spiritual instructions and the Nitya Lila of Gauranga, because in this part of Lord Chaitanya's Nitya Lila is not going on in the spiritual world. There's not bands of robbers and Varanasi and Kshatriya is protecting the devotees, because Nitya Navadvip, no one's leaving to go to Varanasi. But at least in this Boma Vrindavan Leela, or say Boma Gauramanda Leela, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu manifests his pastimes here, then his devotees appear to leave the holy Dham, and so does he. He goes to South India, and his devotees leave Puri to go to Varanasi. But that's, you can say, Naimittic Leela over here. So he's saying that what Lord Chaitanya then said, in other words, he's warning Jagannanda Pandit, or maybe he's trying to scare him. Just like, you know, your lover or someone might say, okay, I'm leaving, I'm going here. Oh, you know, if you go there, it's very dangerous. You may not, if you try to travel over there, you might, okay, maybe I won't go, maybe I better stay here with you. There's also some underlying love being conveyed here. It's not all what you read and explicitly. So because you can imagine that Jagannanda Pandit, of course he's born in Mayapur, and he was a childhood friend, or sweetheart, or whatever you want to say, of Mahaprabhu from birth. They used to go to school together. You can read Prem Vaivarta by Jagananda Pandit and find out how many wonderful intimate dealings they would have. So their loving relationship was going on since birth. And they were basically contemporaries, about the same age. Both pundits, both Brahmins, going to school together, swimming in the Ganga together, throwing ink on each other. I mean, coward boys throw cow dung on each other and mud balls and sometimes yogurt. They throw yogurt and butter all over each other. But if you're a student, then you throw ink. If you're a Brahmin, you throw ink and some Jamuna mud. So Jagananda Pandit and Mahaprabhu were lifelong friends from childhood to boyhood to youthhood to adulthood. And when Mahaprabhu went to Puri, Jagananda Pandit was right with him and lived with him continuously there in Puri. So now Lord Chaitanya is saying, listen, be careful. He says, Savadan, like Vaishnav, we say Vaishnav Savadan. That was the last verse. Age Savadhane Jate Shatriyari Sate. Kesat, we say Kesat, right? It means with. Only travel from Varanasi to Vrindavan if you go in the company of Kshatriyas. Otherwise, who knows what might happen. And so then he says, in the next verse he says, listen, as soon as the robbers on the road see a Bengali traveling alone, they will take everything from him, arrest him, and they will not let him go. And Prabhupada says, because Bengalis are short, they're small guys. And UP Walas are quite stout and tall, especially these Jats. And Bengalis are generally not very stout and strong. Therefore, when a lone Bengali traverses the roads of Bihar, actually, is Varanasi in Bihar or UP?
It's in UP.
It's in UP. When lone Bengali travelers traverses, because first you have to go through Bihar, then the UP. The plunderers on the road capture him, rob all his belongings and kidnap him for their own service. So they capture him, they rob all his things, and they tie a rope around him and make him pull their cart. They enslave him. According to one opinion, the rogues of Bihar know very well that Bengalis are intelligent. Therefore, these thieves generally force the Bengalis into service requiring intelligence and do not allow them to leave. So maybe when these Bihar thugs, maybe when they're filing their tax returns, they need some Bengalis to do their tax returns. So they keep, or maybe to balance, do their white books and black books or something. Because many times these gundas, they're actually ordinary people during the day, so-called ordinary. But at night they're rather extraordinary. So they're, because we know there's one famous Lassiwala near ISKCON that, you know, he's making lassis, but he's also murdered three people. So it's good to be on, good to buy a lot of lassis from him, so stay friends with him. So in the daytime they can be making lassis, and in the nighttime they'll be cutting your head off. The Bengalis can be useful for doing stock inventory. Use their intelligence to keep track of the stock of your house or your shop. So Lord Chaitanya is telling more. This title of this story is Jagannanda Pandit's Braj Yatra. Matura Ghele Sanatana Sangei Rahiba Maturara Swami Sabar Charana Vadim Bandiba. When you reach Mathura, Jagai, you should remain with Sanatana Goswami and offer respectful obeisances to the feet of all the leading men there. So it's very interesting that whenever the Lord or his devotees speak, generally there is some philosophical significance. If we read Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, he's also giving guidelines about how to approach Radhakund and how to engage in the eternal service of the lotus feet of Radharani and Paliyadasi Bhav. And he says, first of all, you have to get out of the body. Vacha Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vedam, Udravapasta Vegam. That's step one. It's like an 11-step dance. Step to the left, then step back, then step to the right, and step back, and then go forward, and spin around, and go backwards. It's like this. there are movements to the dance. It's a dance of love, but you have to go according to the steps, otherwise you can't get in the troupe, dance troupe, or the mandal. You can say the ras mandal or the dance mandal. So there, that's the beginning, is that control the pushings and the urges. Pushings, urges, demands, orders of the senses, of the tongue, belly, genital, etc., mind. Then finally he says that if you've somehow or other been accepted and qualified, you've qualified yourself to some extent to live in Vrindavan, then you don't just go there and live like a cow or a pig or a dog and find a little place under some tree and set up house. But you're supposed to live there in the association. Anugami, anuragi. He says you're supposed to live there under the guidance and shelter of an anuragi Vaishnava. Anuragi. One rag means attachment, and anu means one after another. In other words, he has continuous, and it also means anu means continuous or continuously, like anushilanam. It means his attachment is developing for Krishna continuously, moment after moment after moment. So here we see that as Rupa Goswami, like father, like son, because Rupa Goswami was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to teach Bhakti Siddhanta, the conclusions of Bhakti. So here we see that although Lord Chaitanya doesn't speak so much, but here he's teaching him something very important. He's saying, yes, go to Vrindavan. Jagannanda, you want to perform a Braj Yatra. That's very fine. You go there, but be careful when traveling. This is dangerous. Going through Bihar and UP, there's a lot of dacoits and gundas, so take some kshatriyas with you. And then when you get there, don't just check into the MVT and order a pizza and a bowl of ice cream, but rather take shelter, not of the Kalpa Vriksha trees, not of the Jamuna or Giraj, but take shelter of Vancha Kalpataru, the Vaishnav Kalpataru. Because Kalpataru means the wish-fulfilling tree, but our wishes can only be fulfilled by taking shelter under the branches of a Vaishnava. Because a tree has branches, leaves, etc., and gives shade, chaya. But the shade of a tree cannot compare to the shade of a Vaishnava. Vaishnav chaya. And that's why we say, Nittai Pada Kamalam, Koti Shashi, was it? Koti Chandra Shushital. Chandra means moon, and Shashi means cooling. And Koti, Bahu Koti Chandra, means millions of moons, the shade of his feet. So Nittai Pad or Nittai Padas, like we say, you know, a lot of these Babas, they say, Satira Baba, Nittai Pad Baba, Baba Nittai Padas. I remember reading recently. I said, that's a nice name. Nittai Padadas. Baba Nittai Padadas is Tirubhav is today because I have the Hindi calendar. That was some time ago. So this is the devotees of Nittai and of course Nittai directly. But they are the shelter in Vrindavan. Because if we live in Vrindavan without the shelter of Vaishnava, invariably we'll make so many aparads. And we're told by our well-wishers that offenses in Vrindavan get us wonderful returns. When we invest in the offense and the aparad bank, when we put some money into the aparad bank, then we get a hundred times benefit on our investment. That's very good. So if we make an offense in Vrindavan, we get 100 times reaction. That's very good business. If you want to collect lots of aparads in a short time, then come to Vrindavan and just be your normal self. But if you want to make advancement, then you live in Vrindavan under the shelter of Vaishnava, like Sanatan Goswami, or someone who's following the footsteps of Sanatan Goswami, and then you can get 100 times the profit on your investment, on your devotional investment, your seva investment, your fixed seva accounts. They have fixed savings. They say fixed savings. They say fixed savings. You put your money in a fixed deposit. So seva is S-A-V-I-N-G-S. But we can also say savings S-E-V-A. Fix savings. Fix your seva at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. And if that's done in Vrindavan, then you get 100% return. So you put in 1 hour of seva, or you put in one seva, and you get 100 times the Sukriti in return. Blessings. So this Lord Chaitanya is trying to instruct Jagannanda Pandit and everyone and anyone for all time who intends to perform a Braj Yatra. What to speak if he lives there, because the same instruction is parodied in the Upadeshamrita, that if one is to live, actually go and live in Vrindavan, he should live under the association of an Anuragi Vaishnava. That's the nectar of instruction, maybe number 9 or so. So he says, when you reach Mathura, you should remain, stay with. He says, Sanatan Sange Rahiba. Rahiba means to live with, and Sange means in the association. Maturara Swami Saber Charana Vandiba. Then he says, Charana Vandiba. Maturara Swami. So the Mathura Swamis, right? So Prabhupada translates that the leading men of Mathura. It could also mean the Brahmin families, the Chobes, the Chobe families of Mathura, the Swamis, like Goswamis, Padmanabha Goswami, Radharaman, the Bankhi Vihari Goswamis. Goswami is a hereditary title of the Grihastha descendants who are taking care of the deities that were installed by Vairagis. It's a kind of interesting paradox there. That most of the deities, of the very famous deities of Vrindavan, were installed by Vairagis, who had no wife or children or anything. Mm-hmm. And then the Seva Puja has been continued by Radhe Radhe. Swagatam. The Seva Puja of these deities that were established by great Vairagis was handed over to their various disciples who were Grihasthas. Because if you look at the famous deity of Bankhi Bihari. Bankhi Bihari was revealed by Haridas Swami, but the puja is going on by nothing but Grihasthas, right? Bankhi Bihari Goswamis. And the same with Gopal Bhatta and Radha Damodar and Radha Raman. And I said that. Radha Raman, Radha Damodar, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Gopinath, all of them. So this is the... he's saying that when he's saying Mathura Swami Sabara Charana Vandiba, he says, Jagannanda Pandit, you're going on your Braj Yatra. Oh, that's very nice. Be careful when you travel. When you get there, you stay in Sanatan Sangi Rahiba. You should live with and always associate with Sanatan Goswami because he's an Anuragi Vaishnava. And then he said, so that's who you stay with. And then, but there's so many other people there. So the Mathura says that the respectable people of Mathura, the Goswami families, he says, Mathura Swami, he says, Prabhu Charana Vandila, he says that their feet, you should worship their feet. Vandila means Vandanam. We say that's one of the limbs of Archan. We should offer prayers. So he's saying, offer respectful obeisances to the feet of all the leading men there. So the leading men in society are always the Brahmins. So Mathura Swami means the Goswamis and the Brahmins. Whatever they may be, whatever form they may present themselves in, but this is Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Jagannanda Pandit, who went on a Braj Yatra from Puri to Braj and back again. So Lord Chaitanya, he didn't speak very much about so many things, but here he's speaking on this principle of Braj Yatra, which is very important to all of us because we often go on Braj Yatras. We come from somewhere and come here. So Lord Chaitanya's instructions are quite appropriate. Dure rahi bhakti kariha sange na rahiba tansabara achara cheshta laite nariba. Do not, Lord Mahaprabhu says, do not mix freely with the residents of Mathura. Show them respect from a distance. Because you are on a different platform of devotional service, you cannot adopt their behavior and practices. So, this is Mahaprabhu, this is one pandit speaking to another pandit. Nimai Pandit is speaking to Jagannanda Pandit. They're both Brahmins from Mayapur. And they say that the mood of love and exchange from childhood all the way through their entire lives of Jagannatha Pandit was something like Satyabhama and Krishna and Dwarka, although it's not Dwarka Leela, but there sometimes, because Satyabhama had a very fiery temper, he was a Bhamya Prakar, and so was Jagannatha Pandit. He had a very fiery temper. And they would describe that they would have prem kalaha, that means lover's quarrel, that's why it says prem vivarta. The book that he wrote, his diary, is called prem vivarta, means the bewilderment due to prem, or the inconceivable dealings at the highest levels of love. A Jagannatha Pandit is inconceivably, extremely intimate associate of Mahaprabhu. And yet, he is being instructed, be careful, you don't try to, don't mix with the Brijvasis. You're on a different platform than them. Of course, from what I said, you can gather that Jagannatha Pandit is a lot more advanced, supremely more advanced than any of them. But you are on a different platform of devotional service. For example, when you live in Vrindavan for some time, or a short time even, you come to know that the majority of Brijvasis, they consider that Radha and Krishna are like their mother and father. They have a mood of like vatsalya towards Radha and Krishna, which is certainly not our idea at all. Or we receive that idea from Mahaprabhu. So, and even they get something new, and they if they have this idea, oh, I'm going to get some new clothes, I better offer some new clothes to my mother first, or if the lady wants to wear a new sari, she buys a sari and then she offers it to Radharani first, her mother. And then she asks her mother, can I wear your sari? the mother wears it for a few days and then the daughter wears it. As I've heard, when you live with them and mix up with them. So then Prabhupada explains in his purport. The residents of Vrindavan and Mathura are devotees of Krishna in parental affection. And their feelings always conflict with the opinions of Smarta Brahmins. You know, the Smarta Brahmins, they have so many, just like they have their days for Ekadasi, and Brijvasis have their own days, and Smarta Brahmins have so many things. For example, if someone dies, according to, Smarta means one who follows the Smriti, the Vedic Smriti. There's 20 Smriti Shastras, or 20 Dharma Shastras, which guide the behavior and actions of those in the various varnas and ashramas. So Smarta Brahmins, they're pretty smart. they're smarta. You know, ta means the tendency. Ta means the tendency. Like we say smarta, like we say anyabhilashi ta, which we'll describe in the next class, probably in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But when they say smarta, means one who has the tendency, the ta means the tendency, or the swabhav, or the innate tendency to follow the smriti. The smriti ta, so it's called smarta. It's like, he's very smart. So they say, oh, you've died, so according to the smriti, you should be burned on wood, and even a particular kind of wood, and before sunset if you die in the daytime, and before sunrise if you die at the nighttime, and in the night. And then the body is lying back, face up and back, you know, on the, like, prone, looking up towards Swarga or whatever's up there. I mean, the idea is, everyone has the idea that heaven is up there, maybe down there. Could be anywhere. Or maybe it's in New York or Paris. Maybe people think heaven is in Paris. But at any rate, that's the law. Shastric Vidhi. It's called Vidhi. And if one who follows the Vidhi is Vaidhi Sadhaka or Vaidhi. So in Braj, when you come to Braj, they say, well, forget you smartas. We don't care about you. You guys are jerks. We're going to burn our bodies on cow dung, gober. And because these trees in Braj are a couple of richer trees. And these trees are all Leela briksh. These Kadamba trees are for Krishna's Leela, and these Tamal trees are for Radha's Leela. And all these other trees are part of Krishna's Leela. So we don't have any business cutting any of these trees down in Braj. I mean, this was the original idea. And therefore, and besides, we are cowherd people. And cow dung is very good burning, a fuel source of heat, and it does the job nicely. We cook our chapatis, we can also cook our bodies. So now, and besides that, you have the idea we should lie down and look up towards Swarga, but we have no Swarga Icha. We have no desire for mukti, We have no dharma artha moksha. We have no desire for moksha, swarga moksha. Rather, we're so happy and we know that we've received a great fortune to take birth in Braj Mandal. And it's due to our previous punya or sukriti or ahoituki kripa of some mahant or Bhagavan himself. But somehow or other, we've taken birth in this glorious land of Braj. And all we want to do next life is take birth here again. And the only place, the only destination that we have our eyes on is the land of Vrindavan. So we don't want our eyes to look in the sky at Swarga, which we can't even see. It's too far to see. But we can see Braj. It's right in front of us. So we want to lie face down on the cow dung with our eyes on the Brajabhumi and come back here. Because if you're looking that way, how are you going to go that way? Usually you're moving towards where you're looking. Most people. Not too many people walk backwards. Usually people walk forward. They look where they're going and they walk in that direction. Nobody walks this way looking that way. So they have their eyes on Braj and they're content. They're happy. I love my Braj. And like the people from Delhi wear t-shirts, I love Vrindavan. But they actually love sense gratification. And the people in Vrindavan don't wear any t-shirts. They can't afford it. they wear gumshes or nothing, and then they just love Vrindavan. So therefore Prabhupada is telling, and Lord Chaitanya is telling, don't try to understand, because as I've been staying here for a few days, the longer I stay here, the less I can understand about the way they tick and the way they think. So certainly, and I don't want to think, oh, now I can become familiar because we've passed 19 years here, that I have some adhikar now or some license to become familiar. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions are nitya, nitya shiksha, they're for all time. It's not, and even if, to be more correct to following his instructions, I should have left 19 years and 9 months ago. Because after a short time, you should go, because he says, stay there a short time and come back. But in Jagannanda Panna's case, he was going from Lord Chaitanya and coming back to Lord Chaitanya. So he's going from Lord Chaitanya to Vrindavan and back to Lord Chaitanya. But I was coming from hell. So I was coming from hell to Vrindavan, so I wasn't about to leave Vrindavan to go back to hell. I mean, if I was coming from Lord Chaitanya, I wouldn't have any problem going back to Lord Chaitanya. So I think there can be some exception to the rule. At least I hope so. Devotees who worship Krishna in opulence cannot understand, that means Aishwarya Mahi Bhakti, Bhakti mixed with so much Aishwarya, they cannot understand the parental devotional feelings of the residents of Mathura and Vrindavan who follow the path of spontaneous love. Devotees on the path of Vidhimarg, regulative devotional principles, may misunderstand the activities of those on the platform of Rag Marg, devotional service and spontaneous love. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Jagannanda Pandit to remain apart from the residents of Vrindavan, who were spontaneous devotees, so as not to become disrespectful toward them. It is a fact. Because we're used to such standards of cleanliness, punctuality, and ISKCON, and even in our own home worship of our Thakur, we cleanse our deities and by bathing and chandan. And then we go in some Vrijvasi's house and they have some Gopal deity that they've been worshiping, their grandfather, father. They can't even count how many years this Gopal deity's been worshipped. And he's totally black in color. And he's like Sham Gopal. And you think he's like, you know, made out of black marble or granite or some kind of iron or whatever. And then you come to understand that actually he's black because the worship is so, all the Brijvasis are so much thinking of Krishna that they turned him black. He became black. And then he usually has one eye, one conch shell eye. And the other one got lost 200 years ago. Because he looked at Radharani, lost his eye or something. That's their bhav. So if you ask them, I remember when I first came to Vrindavan, I was visiting some temples and I saw Krishna was standing like this, and there was no flute. I didn't have a flute. I went to the bazaar. I was like a little rambunctious. What's with you guys? You don't have any money to buy a flute? I mean, you know, can I buy a flute? And he said, you stupid. You don't know anything. You know, just get out from here. So, because I thought that, they can't even, they don't have it. Krishna is supposed to be Vamshidhara, Murlidhara. He's supposed to have a flute. And then I came to know that they're worshipping in Bhav Marg. That if I went on Monday and Tuesday, every day I went, there was never a flute. I thought, these guys are so cheap. They're collecting money. I see the donation boxes there. They're collecting good collections. And they won't even spend 10, you know, 100 rupees or 500 rupees on a flute. It's not so costly, a little flute. And silver was really cheap in those days, also in 78, 79. So I was a little bit like, you know, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi with a starched cloth of Jagannath. I mean, it's a little offensive in my mind, right? So then I came to understand that actually they have crores of rupees. They could buy solid diamond flute for the deities. But the reason they don't have a flute is because they're celebrating the daily leela of Radharani Vamshi Chori, stealing Krishna's flute. And they're worshipping Krishna with the mood that, Krishna, you have to beg us because we're the servants of her, that lady who stole your flute. So if you're nice to us, after we offer artik, we may tell you where she hid your flute. So this is their bhav. So try to understand that when you come from Radha Govinda Mandir in Manhattan. you can't understand. So Prabhupada, well aware of all the intricacies of their pure loving attitude, he's warning us in his purport, as is Lord Chaitanya warning Jagadananda. Keep your distance. Don't get too close. You cannot adopt their behavior and practices. Radhanath Swami used to tell a story that before ISKCON, he was wandering around India and he came to Vrindavan and he was sleeping on the banks of Yamuna near Keshigat and just getting a little food here and there. And there was one small old temple there somewhere in some little crevice or some little crack in the wall somewhere. There was some Baba there or some old man, local man, living there, and he had some deities of Radha and Krishna. So once Radhanath Swami came there, he took darshan, and it was nearby where he was sleeping on the beach, so he would come regularly and just take darshan out of curiosity or whatever. And he had like long, like, what do you call that, dreadlocks or something like that? Jata. That's right, jata. And so one day the Baba was there, or the Brijbasi, whoever it was, Pajari, and he had a little curtain and he would close the curtain and make an offering. So one day he went by, he closed the curtain and he was ringing the bell. Then he opened the curtain a little bit and he stuck his head out and he said, "Hey, Angrez Baba," to Radhanath or whatever his name was, I don't know, whatever. He wasn't initiated. He said, "Come in here." And he had some understanding from being around India for a while. He said, "Oh, no, Thakurji must be taking his bhog." He said, no, I can wait." He said, no, Thakurji wants to eat with you. Come." You know. So he said, "You come inside." Or somehow he conveyed. I mean, I don't think he spoke English, but he conveyed to him. He said, "Oh, come. So he sat on, and then there was a little chokey, little table there with a plate on it, like we do. He said, "You sit here." And so he was like really nervous, and he's sitting there. So then the Baba was ringing the bell, and he had some pakoras. He had just a few little items. And he was offering it like this, holding it up, offering it. And then he said, "Okay, now you eat it." And he was handing it to him. He said, "Well, no, you know, I go outside." Or, you know, he had some ideas that something, this wasn't right. And he was shy. He said, "No, Thakur wants to share his lunch with you. Come on." And one by one, he was feeding him like this. So this is some different type of mood. And not that we can imitate, because that's... But I remember once I was staying... We were staying in Radha Damodar, and we had a little altar set up there, and Giriraj was... We started our puja there in 1989. And sometimes we get these flowers, and there were all little flowers all over the place. It was a small area, and it was very time-consuming to pick up all the dried petals that would be here and there in the hot season. So one day I thought, "Oh, I can use this chamar whisk for a little broom." You know, yes, oh, it's not there. You know, I have one of these little tiny chamars I can buy. And so I was using it, like I said, "I hope you don't mind, Giri Raj, but I know this isn't standard," but I was sweeping, and it became my regular thing. I would use it for brooming, you know, his altar, sweep off these maha flower petals, and then I would just shake it in the wind. Okay, now it's purified. So that became my habit. So then some people came for Prabhupada's prasad, and then after I was doing some little puja or something, they were like watching. I forgot that you have to have dual standards, you know, the public standard and the white books and black books, you know, white accounts and black accounts. So I was doing like that, and someone said, "Maharaj, what are you doing?" I said, don't you do like this. don't use your chamara for a broom. So I don't know what they made of that or how that went back to their temple in Europe or whatever, that, you know, Swamiji is violating all the principles of Vidhi Marg and Archan Marg. So this kind of spontaneous mood becomes contagious when you live in Vrindavan. So this Prabhupada's telling that, he's telling Jagannanda Pandit, you cannot understand. Now, it's quite, if he can't understand, what about us? We can understand. Our basic relationship with Brijabasis, as Lord Chaitanya is outlining, is keep a distance. He says, Matura Swami Sabara Charana Vandiva. Sabara Charana, all the feet of all of them, we should pray at the feet of all the Matura Vasis and Brijabasis. We should offer our heartfelt prayers at their feet. You know, please bless me with a drop of the devotion, Braj Bhakti that you have. Just bless me with a drop. And then again, that's what he says in this verse. And then stay with your god sisters, god brothers, or advanced devotees, and don't who have or sajati are the same mood and same line that you're in. And then he says, don't take kariya sangha nairahiba. He said, don't live with them and don't associate with them. Like sometimes devotees, they rent rooms in different Brijavasis' houses because there's no other choice. So that's okay, but just be careful that to become, because familiarity breeds contempt. Oh, they're watching TV so late, I'm trying to sleep, why don't they shut up, just that. You know, because when you're living right in their house, it's very, you know, getting so close, it becomes dangerous. So he says, don't mix freely with them. Respect them from a distance. Then he says, Sanatana Sange Kariha Vanadara Shan Sanatanera Sangana Chadhiveka Shan. Visit all 12 forests of Vrindavan in the company of Sanatan Goswami. Do not leave his association for even a moment. Now that's really tight, short leash on the tight control. He says, Ek Shana means even a moment. Don't leave his association. So it almost sounds like, you know, you're living in some small village, and the mother and father said, don't go into the forest for even a moment, because there are tigers there and they'll eat you in a second. So he's just see how serious it is. He's saying, stay with Sanatana Goswami at every moment, because even a few moments, if you're away from him, then you may have difficulty or trouble. This is bright. This is an interesting thing, because we're always wandering all over the place by ourselves. You know, especially these Russian devotees, like our friend here. That is their habit to wander all over Braj and meet all kinds of people and step on the shadows of all kinds of babas and do all kinds of interesting things. You know. So this is the situation he's telling. It's interesting that when Jagannanda Pandit, he's preparing to come to Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving him a lot of particular guidelines. He's saying, offer your respects to all the residents there. Don't mix with them. Keep a distance. So that's like, there's like the yamas and niyamas, no's and do's and don'ts. Don't mix tightly. Don't become familiar. Don't try to understand their devotional platform. He says that you are on a different platform of devotional service. He says, Dure Rahi Bhakti Kariha. Dure Rahi Bhakti Kariha. Their devotion is far from you. Dure bhakti. So, and then he says the positive thing he says. Now he says the positive things. Always stay with Sanatana Goswami, who's the obviously most advanced Premi Bhakta. Then, okay, I'm staying with him. Well, what should I do? Just sit with him all day? He says, no, you should move. You should wander. Where should I wander? From MVT to Loy Bazaar? And Loy Bazaar back to MVT? He says, you should. So he said, Kariha Van Darshan. He said, Van Darshan. You should visit all the 12 forests of Vrindavan in the company of Sanatan Goswami. So fortunately, by Prabhupada's mercy, at least the members of ISKCON and other institutions also, they have their Gaudiya missions, you can say. They have Prajmandal Parikrama. Like we heard that one lady this morning, she said she's going on Prajmandal Parikrama. So there they can wander around the 12 forests following the order of Lord Chaitanya in the association of Sajatiya Snigdha Vaishnavas, and this way actually experience something of Vrindavan. So this is the way to come to Vrindavan. It's interesting, when you see this instruction, when you read Bhakti Ratnakar and other books that describe the movements of different Vaishnavas and Gaudiya Vaishnavas over the last 500 years, you see that there's a certain pattern of behavior or a certain pattern to their Braj Yatra. Pretty much they all come from Bengal or Puri and they come to Braj. Janamata and Narhari Chakravarti and the six Goswamis, of course, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, Nityananda, Madhavendra Puri, all the different devotees who have come on a Braj Yatra, they all follow the same pattern. And this is the pattern. First they come to Mathura, to the Janmasthan, because everything begins with birth. Right? Everything. You don't go to the cemetery, then retrace a person's life. Well, you can. Some people do, I suppose. But you go to the Janma. They all come to Mathura first. You can read the travels of all these great Vaishnavas, Janamata, Nityananda, everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They come first to Mathura and they bathe at Vishram Ghat. Vishram Ghat, they bathe in the Yamuna at Vishram Ghat. Every single one of them. And then from there, because Vishram Ghat is where Krishna rested after killing Kamsa, and is considered to be a Pavitrasthan, extremely purifying and important place to bathe. Before, and in fact, most Braj Yatras, I think even ISKCON begins their Braj Yatra in Mathura, because I went in 1988. We started in Mathura on Purnima, and we took bath in Vishram Ghat. So from there, after bathing Vishram Ghat, they all tour the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Because touring the 12 forests of Vrindavan, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is like all the 12 rasas, you actually are represented by the 12 forests. The 5 primary rasas and the 7 secondary rasas. And then also, he explains that when you go on Braj Yatra, Bhaktisiddhanta, then all of our desires to taste any of those rasas in the material world, they become extinguished by touching all the 12 forests. Because there's desire for material, conjugal love or friendship or parents, and then heroism, chivalry and wonder and amazement, all these different rasas that we are also there in the material world that we experience with material friends and relatives. We have sanskaras and vasanas to still repeatedly enjoy those material flavors. These are 12 flavors of material life. And by touring the 12 forests on Braj, because they're transcendental, and all the rasas and humors there are transcendental, they transform our material rasas into spiritual rasas, or at least in a seed-like form. And they purify us of all these mundane tastes, the 7 gona rasas and 5 mukhi rasas. And then it becomes a pure ras, pure bhakti ras comes from that. It's very interesting, the tattva behind the action. So they all tour the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Then from there they come to Vrindavan itself, the one forest of the 12 known as Vrindavan. And then they take darshan of the major deities, Govindaji, Gopinath, after, of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't, they weren't installed. But Janamata and all those others did. So here we see that Lord Chaitanya is upholding the same tradition which he himself followed in all the 6 Goswamis. He says, Jagannanda Pandit, you go, he says, Mathura Swami Sabara Charana Bandiva. So he's saying, it says, Mathura Gele Sanatana Sange Rahiba. When you go to Mathura, when you reach Mathura, you should remain with Sanatana Goswami. So Mathura can refer to Mathura Mandala. It could be just Mathura Mandala, which means Braj Mandala, because Sanatana Goswami was living in Vrindavan, but doing Madhukara in Mathura. But when you read the second line, which we already discussed this verse, he says, Mathurara Swami Sabara Charana Vandiva. That indicates that he's telling, go to Mathura. After you go to Mathura, then you'll go to Mathura Mandal and associate with Sanatan. But when you're in Mathura, then you'll offer all respects to the Goswamis and like the Chobes and others in Mathura. Then you meet with Sanatana Goswami, and then you visit all the 12 forests in association. Don't leave his association for even a moment. Shigra asya tahana rahya chirakal govardhana nacharya dekite gopal. So here he's, as you can hear from the words, he's saying, you should remain in Vrindavan for only a short time. Shigra asya tahan means you should return very fast, is what it actually says. Rahiya chirakal means you should not remain. Na rahiya, literally, it's interesting, when Prabhupada does his English translation, as I mentioned the other day, it's quite abbreviated. And when you read the word for word, you get the actual more complete. Because Prabhupada was in a hurry, as I mentioned the other day. I said, Prabhupada made it very nice. He said, listen, I'm giving you the meaning of all the words. If you want to write your own Chaitanya Charitamrita, here's all the words, you can translate it. If you really want to get into it, here's the Bengali, and here's the translation of all the words. Because the actual words are saying, and he's telling in the word for word, Shigra Asya Tahan. Come back immediately. You know? But then, and then you see in the translation, sometimes he doesn't say it. Like the other, what was that word, that verse, the one the other day? The whole thing, he says something about Vrindavan. There was a whole line it didn't even have in the translation, but it was in the word for word. So here he's saying, you should remain in Vrindavan for only a short time and then return here as soon as possible. Also, do not climb Govardhan Hill to see the Gopal deity. Because what happens, I see that devotees, they stay in Vrindavan for some time, and as we mentioned earlier, familiarity, you know, is dangerous because you can become offensive. So after they've been here for some time, they feel, oh, I remember once I was walking on Govardhan Prikma in rainy season. I went on the inside path because we hadn't been for some time. We came from Vrindavan. And we got an inside path that was all flooded. There was lots of water everywhere. And we were going to a certain point approaching Apsarakund and Navalkund, somewhere before that. And then it was completely flooded. And either you had to go back the other way or turn left and go out to the street, and there was all sticker bushes, and or you turn right and go over on hill there. And there was lakhs, it was like Guru Purnima or something. And there were lakhs and lakhs of people, mostly UP Wallahs and Brijbasis. And everyone was going straight and seeing this obstacle, or the path was blocked, and turning right and walking over Govardhan Hill. Then some of my friends who were also had been living here for some time said, come on, everyone's going, let's go. I said, we can, how can we go? Lord Chaitanya, you know, his most intimate associates, and he himself, Rupa and Sanatana, he himself wouldn't go. And who has more adhikar to go than him? Because the feet of Lord Chaitanya are Radharani's feet, and Govardhan is Krishna, so Krishna likes to have Radharani's feet on his head. Right? Gita Govinda, he's praying for those feet. Dehipad, give me those feet. Put them on my head. So, but he's not praying for my feet. So we split at that point. My so-called, you know, my friends, they said, well, we're going. It's too far to go the other way. I said, okay, well, you go where you go. I don't know where you're going or where you'll end up. But so we went through the, rather than going all the way back against lakhs of people, which was pretty difficult, we went through the stickers and stuff. So it's quite, that was good fun. But, so Lord Chaitanya is telling right here, don't climb the hill. Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises that one should avoid remaining in Vrindavan for a long time. As the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. If one stays in Vrindavan for many days, he may fail to maintain proper respect for its inhabitants. Therefore, those who have not attained the stage of spontaneous love for Krishna. This phrase of spontaneous love is usually used in the context of Raghunuga Sadhana. Whenever you read Prabhupada's books, where you see in Bengali that there are two types of sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana, or also in Nectar of Devotion, Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. He translates Raghunuga Sadhana as spontaneous devotional service. So Raghunuga Sadhana is not exactly spontaneous devotional service at all, but that's how Prabhupada translates it. So we would like to comment from our side that when he's saying those who have not attained the stage of spontaneous love, I would think that, I would like to say he indicates that those that are not on the platform of Raghunuga Sadhana, that have not awoken an intense greed to follow the Ragatmika Bhaktas of Vrindavan, they may think about not to stay very long. It is better for them to make short visits. One should also avoid climbing Govardhan Hill to see the Gopal deity. Since Govardhan Hill itself is identical with Gopal, one should not step on the hill or touch it with his feet. One may see Gopal when he goes elsewhere, namely Haridev Mandir. You can see Gopal at Manasi Ganga, or if you're a little more adventuresome, you can go to Natri, the original Gopal of Madhavendra Puri. Sri Natri is residing happily in Rajasthan and Natwara. Amiha asitechi kahiya sanatan amara tara ekastan jaina kari Vrindavan. And now inform Sanatan Goswami that I am coming to Vrindavan for a second time, and he should therefore arrange a place for me to stay. This is very interesting. This is a very interesting verse, because Lord Chaitanya never came a second time, or at least as far as we can understand. And sometimes devotees, very advanced devotees, they discuss about this point, because he's saying, tell him to make. In other words, sometimes they say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had intention to visit again, but then he became the Mahabhav that he experienced in Gambhira became changed his plans. That he just had to go with Gopinath, so he embraced Gopinath and left this world. Sometimes love changes our plans. Love is such that, that's like they say, have a phrase that in love there are no rules, and in rules there's no love. So the rule was that Lord Chaitanya was having some plan to return for a second time to Vrindavan. So sent Jagannatha with some news, but then his love for Gopinath and his mood of separation became so great that he couldn't come back again to Vrindavan here. Rather, he went to Vrindavan there in the garden of Toda Gopinath. Inform Sanatana Goswami that I'm coming to Vrindavan for a second time, and that he should arrange for a place for me to stay. Etabali Jaganande Kaila Alingan Jagananda Chailila Prabhur Bandiya Charan. After saying this, Mahaprabhu embraced Jagananda Pandit, who then worshipped the Lord's lotus feet and started for Vrindavan. Sababhaktaganas Tani Agya Magila Vanapate Chali Chali Varanasi Aila. Jagananda Pandit took permission from all the devotees and then departed. Traveling on the forest path, he soon reached Varanasi. So that concludes the story of Jagananda Pandit's Braj Yatra. So everything, all the movements of the Vaishnava, going from the Holy Dham or to the Holy Dham, everything is going in a very submissive way. That one is begging for permission. Jagannanda Pandit, he's an adult, he's a man, he could just start walking. I was going to say jump on a train, but there are no trains then. But he could just start walking from Puri. He has two legs, he's fit, he's physically all right. But he's asking for the agya, Prabhu agya, the order and permission of Mahaprabhu. And then even before that, and he said, well, I have Mahaprabhu's order, let's go. And then again, he approaches all the Vaishnavas, please give me your blessings. And then when Mahaprabhu is sending him there, he's also giving him very good instructions how to get the phal, yatra phal, the fruit of your yatra. May it be successful. So we can try to adopt some of these instructions in our own lives whenever we go on Braj Yatra or Mayapur or any yatra, to stay in good association, offer respect to everyone, and don't try to understand. If you go to Jagannath Puri, what the bhav that they have for Jagannath and Balaram Subhadra, and the Rath Yatra, the pundits, they call Jagannath all kinds of dirty names, and even someone told me they have some book with all kinds of paintings in it of illicit activities with men and women, and they show it to him on the cart to inspire him to go to Gundicha, and there's all kinds of extremely inconceivable things that go on amongst the Lord and his devotees. That's why it says Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra. Kriya means the actions of the Vaishnava are bewildering, because it takes one to know one. So if you're a Jagannath Vasi and you're born there, they have such a relationship. There's one man that I've been to a few Rath Yatras. There's the Sarathi, I guess they call him, some skinny little guy that has a little whip in his hand, and there's some horses in front of Jagannath's cart. There's also a deity there of Daruka, I guess, chariot driver of Krishna, big wooden man, mustache. There's a living guy, or at least appears living to me. And he's a little skinny guy, and it appears that he's controlling the rath because he has like a little whip. And then the cart is going, and then the cart stops. And then he speaks to all the Purivasis in front of him. He says, look at this guy. He's telling in their own language, what kind of guy is this? He's running away from his wife. Do you think that's a good thing? And then the people either say yes or no. He said, you think it's a good thing? And he's going like this with his whip. He's talking about, yes. And they say, yes, it's very good. The runner, he says, what? And he goes, he's like a buffon or something, buffon, you know, like a joker type. And he says, this is not very good. And he looks around and he says, look at these people. You know, he's like talking to Jagannath. He says, these are your people? These are your people? They think like you. You're black and their hearts are black? You know, and this kind of... And then he says, anyway, should we take him to Vrindavan or not? Yes! And he goes, all right, well, let's go! And he goes like this. And he takes his whip and goes like that and hits these little wooden horses. And then all of a sudden the cart starts moving. So it appears on one level that this guy is controlling the cart. But we know it's Lord Chaitanya and his dancing and his ecstatic exchanges. All these things are there also, but we can't see, or at least I can't see. But what we can see is there's some extremely inconceivable intimate relationship between Jagannath Dev and his pujaris and his bhaktas, his devotees. The language, the activities, I was asking, because I had some Puri friends I stay with there when I go. I said, Maharaj, you won't believe what's going on. I don't know, I may not believe, at least tell me. So this is what goes on, holy dhams. Just like, for example, we're in ISKCON, and we go to Mayapur, and we visit there, and there's some devotees that have been living there since a long time, the twin brothers. And they have their own kind of thing going on over there in Mayapur. You know, even amongst ISKCON devotees, they have a certain kind of bhav and a way they're relating with Nisringadev and Radha Madhav and Pancha Tattva and Bhaktivedya Purna and what are those twins? I can't. Jananivas and Pankajangri, and these senior devotees. The way they talk about, oh, you know, Radha Madhav and this and Radha, you know, they have that the intimacy and the experiences that they've all shared is. There is a level that we can't, even our own people, we can't really approach and understand. So we have to be careful also. So we'll stop there, if there's any questions. Tomorrow's the story of Gauranga blesses the sweet maker.